early signs indicate August will not be the month the job market turned around.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, 3 years after the financial crisis, the economy is still not adding many jobs. What is the problem? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow up 84 points at 11,644. That's up about 0.7%. The NASDAQ up almost 1%, and the S&P 500 up a little more than 1% right now. Let's get to jobs now. The August picture, as far as we know right now, looks like this. The payroll processing company ADP said this morning that the private sector hiring in this country dipped last month with only 91,000 jobs added. Meanwhile, the job placement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas says the number of announced layoffs dropped from July, but it was still a higher number of layoff announcements than last August. Both of these reports offer a preview of Friday's monthly survey from the Labor Department. Richard DeKayser joins us now. He's an economist with the Parthenon Group, who's with us live from Boston, as he is every Wednesday. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Well, first, what do you make of these numbers from today?
Well, I think it's more of the same. You know, according to ADP, we've added about 100,000 jobs in each of the past 3 months. That is a little bit better than May, when we were about one-third that, depressed arguably to temporary factors, Japan's tsunami and high commodity prices. But the bottom line is the economy continues to muddle along, no double dip, but nothing really to celebrate.
Well, you mentioned temporary factors, which is something a lot of people have talked about when it comes to weak hiring. But I have to say, we're 3 years after Lehman Brothers, and we're still not doing much here.
Well, no, that's right. Sometimes economists refer to this whole process of recuperation that our economy is going through as deleveraging, and it's a long, slow process. The collapse of the housing market created a tremendous loss of wealth. People are struggling to scrimp together savings, pay off past debts. And the reality is that that's just a very gradual recuperative process, and it's going to take some time. And until it's played itself out, we're likely to see this kind of moderate pace of economic growth.
Richard DeKayser, economist with the Parthenon Group, thanks as always.
It is my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, don't tell Silicon Valley there are no jobs. As Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, the problem in high tech is finding the right employees.
High-tech companies have long complained the U.S. doesn't educate enough engineers with advanced degrees. But asking American CEOs if there are enough engineers in this country is a little like asking a child if the world has enough ice cream. Or so says Vivek Wadhwa.
At the macro level, there's absolutely no shortage of engineers in America.
Wadhwa is a visiting scholar at the University of California at Berkeley. Wadhwa says there are some engineer shortages, but they tend to be regional and confined to specific industries.
In Silicon Valley, there's extreme shortages of highly skilled programming talent. It's not a national problem, and it's not a generic engineering problem.
When it comes to engineering talent, Wadhwa believes what matters most is quality, not quantity. And today, more than half of all engineering PhDs awarded by American universities go to foreign students. And these days, many of them are heading home after graduation. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. Healthcare coverage is supported in part by the California Endowment, a health foundation dedicated to expanding access to healthcare for all Californians.
Many of the victims of Hurricane Irene are turning now to the cost of their personal property damage. Problem is, a lot of East Coast insurance policies don't cover floods. So how do you decide what to be insured against? For answers, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, David, you and I both live in L.A. We wouldn't expect something like a hurricane to come here, but who knows? Maybe it would. Should we be insured? Should we be prepared for something like that?
I guess it all depends on what it'll take to help you sleep at night, because that's really what insurance is all about. obviously planning for every possible contingency is nuts, unless you are Bill Gates and you can throw money at every problem you like. Otherwise, you want to play the odds. So if you live in L.A. like we do, earthquake insurance is something that should be high on your list if you're a homeowner. If you live on the East Coast, then you think about hurricane insurance.
So all those people that just experienced the earthquake last week on the East Coast, they were probably right not to have insurance for that.
Oh, absolutely. If you are playing the odds. What, that was the first earthquake they felt in, what, 70 years?
Right.
Something like that. So who is going to buy earthquake insurance for something like that? Whereas out here, you'd be nuts if you have a home to at least not take a close look at that product.
So you're better off not having insurance and then just paying out of pocket if you suffer any damage from any disaster that happens.
I guess in those extreme cases that we're describing, the rule of thumb here, Jeremy, is the amount of equity that's in your home. And so that's when you want to start really planning for a disaster. So if you live in California and you have a lot of equity in your home, you need to protect that. Earthquake insurance suddenly becomes a very good idea. If you live on the East Coast, and again, you have a lot of equity in your home, then you want to think about things like flood insurance or hurricane insurance or locust insurance or whatever it is that's the problem out there. That's what you're trying to protect, though, is your investment.
And what about renters? We're hearing a lot more people are renters these days as the housing market has suffered. Should they be prepared when it comes to insurance?
I know a lot of people who are renters who swear by renters insurance. Now, it's not a very expensive product, roughly $15 a month for $30,000 in coverage or so. Again, it all comes down to peace of mind. If this is going to help you sleep at night, then that's $15 well spent. Otherwise, well, that's $15 you could buy melatonin, you can buy a stiff shot of whiskey,
whatever
will work, you know?
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. David, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, a note of caution when buying an iPad, at least if you're buying one in a McDonald's parking lot. That's what a South Carolina woman was doing when she paid two guys $180 for a new iPad. She thought it was a great deal. But when she drove home, she discovered the tablet was actually just a piece of wood painted black with an Apple logo on the back of it. The criminals did have an eye for detail, though. The fake screen included fake icons for email, photos, and the iPod application. We've got a picture of the iPlank, if you will, at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
What's better than the Good Housekeeping seal of approval? How about the Pentagon's?
People who are skeptical, you know, yeah, that's kind of a niche technology. It's not a niche technology anymore. Look at the Marines start to use it. In the minds of an investor, that's an incredibly trustworthy endorsement.
I'm Tess Vigeland. The U.S. military is going green, but will this spur a green economy? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.